हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Shri Krishna Sandarbha Adhyayana 5, Adhikarna 3, Prakat and Aprakat Abodes, page 58. The meaning is this. In the statement, he glances at great, attractive Bhishma. Bhishmam udaram darshaniyam katam karoti. The phrase katam karoti, formed of verb karoti and object katam, acts as a verb. Katam karoti with Bhishma as the object. Similarly, Brahma praptu should be taken as a verb. They attain Brahman with paramam and ramanam jara as its objects. Thus the meaning is, quote, they attain the Brahman, a supreme form, who is the supremely attractive lover. The descriptive terms are non-different from the object, Brahman, because the supreme object is the shelter of all descriptive elements. Ekam ekadvitiyam brahma. Brahman is one without a second. Chandogya Upanishad 6.1.11. Though the descriptive terms are non-different from Brahman, each one has difference. Sa ekada bhavati dvidha bhavati. He is one and becomes two. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 10.24.26. The order of words is significant also. The emphasis is on the first phrase, ramanam jaram, as in a sentence like the following. There's the first phrase, pachantam vividha paka, has most importance. Panchyatam vividha paka, supanta payasa dayaha, samya vapu shashkulya sarvadohas cha griyatam. Let many different kinds of food be cooked, from sweet rice to vegetables, vegetable soups. Many kinds of fancy cakes, both baked and fried, should be prepared, and all the available milk products should be taken for the sacrifice. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.24.26. Right, so all kinds of food should be cooked, and then when you give the details, then those are in support of the first one. Right, so that they attained, and that about Krishna, the supreme, attractive lover, that's the main thing. Then the Brahman, the supreme form, so it means the transcendental personality who is the supreme attractive lover. Right, so it's dealing with all the aspects within the aspect of the context of the Sandini means that you have the Brahman, the existence, you have the forms, and you have the attractiveness. Right? So all of those things are together in this one description. So they are not inconsistent with each other, because Brahman means transcendental, right? Supreme form. So we say the gopis attain the transcendental supreme form of the supremely attractive lover, we would have no problem. Right? Because Prabhupada is very good with the poetics there, and he brings out what's there, because for others they understand these technical points, and so then they'll connect it. But here, even without understanding that, then it becomes very obvious. The point is that the supremely attractive lover is the main thing, and these attaining Brahman and supreme form are in support of that. So much. Another example would be Agnihotram Juhoti Yavagam Pachati. Perform the sacrifice and cook the barley. Right? Means you have performed the sacrifice, cooked the barley. It's not two different things. By performing the sacrifice, there's a need for cooking the barley. So performing the sacrifice is the main thing. Does that make sense? So when you're giving a list of actions or descriptives and all that, there's still going to be a central point, the object itself, and the others are aspects. So the supremely attractive one happens to be Brahman, happens to be the supreme form. So, according to what was explained, the meaning of ta abala brahma praptu paramam is the girls attain Brahman, its supreme form, paramam, Bhagavan. Right? Because you can also say is then you have the aspects of Brahman, Paramam, and Bhagavan. So the topmost of all that they achieved. You made it! And Prabhu?
It's a good
one. Oh. Okay. Harder to come. Okay. Brahmano hi pratishtaham. I am the basis of Brahman, Bhagavad Gita 14:27. Right, so we have is that the Bhagavad Sandarbha, the whole point of that was bringing out is that transcendental position or Brahman, that's Krishna. Right? Bhagavan is Krishna. So he is Brahman. So it's not that you're studying Brahman on its own and then later Krishna. No, it's that it's his effulgence. In other words, the effulgence is his effulgence. Then Paramatma is his expansion that takes care of controlling the energies. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's always seen in that context. So the same way. So these different features of the Lord, then they're all seen together. They're not three separate features. That he is the absolute, that he is the Lord of his energies, and he is the Lord of Rasa. Right? Means he, the Lord of Rasa, controls the energies and is the transcendence. So, yeah. In that condition, others, hundreds of thousands of gopis in Gokula, attain Krishna from association with his eternal consorts, who are his amshas. Right? So, hundreds of thousands, they attain to Krishna by the association of those who are already with Krishna. Right? Because it mentioned that they attain that. What do you call it? It means they attain to that position like those gopis, right? Of course, there's going to be a uniqueness because they're the eternal associates that are always on that platform. Then you're going to have those who then come up to that platform by association, right? So that's the process. That's why we see is that Vaishnava association is so important, right? So association with Krishna, then it's always going to be about, and why is someone doing that? Because of that rati, because of that taste that is there. Right? Where are you going to get that taste? Only in the association of Vaishnavas. Right? In the association of Vaishnavas. Then they appreciate so much that a taste in the association of Vaishnavas that they want to give that to others who are not as fortunate. I mean, that's Lord Chaitanya's desire. That's the mission. So therefore then you have the Sankirtan movement. But the point of the movement is to taste Krishna consciousness in the association of Vaishnavas. You're not going to taste outside of that. And it's only because of them. Because of devotees, you come in contact. Because of devotees, then you develop faith. Because of devotees, then you learn the process. Then you learn what is not the appropriate things, what are the appropriate things. You see their example, you become fixed. They have a taste, you follow them, they have attachment, they have. Does that make sense? So it's all about the people. So that aspect, that rasa is the main thing, and then the other things are there. But it has its proper balance. That's why the others are mentioned. Like we see sahajas who won't mention those things. Oh no, we have the rasa, we don't need anything else. But then the problem is they say they have rasa, but they're not even transcendently situated. So they don't even attain to the first position of the three. They attain Brahman. They're not on the platform of Brahman. You know, that supreme form, right? And so then that one, with that form, then he interacts with the gopis. Then there's that taste. The supremely attractive. Because it's not just the form, it's the form in interaction, like Prabhupada mentioned, that Krishna himself isn't that attractive. It means he's not so attractive in comparison to when he expands his internal potency. Then he becomes very, very like that, because then he interacts the rasa. And in that, then according to his desire, then things are unfolding the way he likes. Right? And he has a transcendental form. He is transcendentally situated. So all three features are always there in the is Krishna Sarup. We learn them in a progression because that's from our conditioned state. We have a spontaneous attraction to the material energy. We have to regulate that. By regulating, you lose the attraction of the spontaneity. Right? Then we start to see the difference, we get purified. Then we start to see the difference between the spiritual and the material. Then we focus on the spiritual. Right? Then we appreciate that within the spiritual there's variety. Then within the spiritual we appreciate there's rasa. Right? That just brings us back. We're spontaneous because of taste. You know, we appreciate the forms, we appreciate the environment. Like, let's say you want to enjoy, you go into an environment where enjoying is possible, though you're not enjoying, you immediately feel comfortable. No? Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is that it's going on that way, but we're trying to do it the other way. But we say, oh, no, we just attained that. No, you're not. You have to pull yourself out of this and pull it back up that way. You have to know all three features are there to say, oh, well, you know, we don't care about Brahman. But the point is everything's situated on Brahman. So you don't like the Sandini? The Sandini is what manifests the forms and all the variety. If you don't like Brahman, then you don't like variety, then you end up with nothing. So, you know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Then there's going to be the aspect of then that supreme form because of the interaction, the affection, the attraction. Does that make sense? So you're always going to have these three features. It's just a matter of how you want to look. Like you see the same thing. You can put it all within the Sandini, or you can show all three. You can even show Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Because they all have that. All three are always there because that's his Swarup. And it's based on Bhagavan. So that's why that's the main thing. And the other two are features of that. Right? So it always has to be seen in that way. Right? It's not three separate things. Oh, we don't care for this. No, you do care for that. Does that make sense? Let us say we are in Calcutta. Okay? Now, where in Calcutta? Maybe on Chowringhee. In Chowringhee, then the crossing of is it Essen Banerjee? No, that's farther up. I don't know which the Banerjee is. It's just up from Newmarket, where you have the that old I think it's LIC.
I think it's
Essen Banerjee. That's Essen Banerjee. Okay, that crossing, right? Because there's no boulevard in the middle, but it's one of the busiest crossings that there is. Okay, so right out in the middle of that, okay, while we're walking, and it's full traffic time, right? Then when we're right in the middle and we have to stop because cars are moving, I pull out your favorite thing to eat. And hey, let's go for it. Is it going to be good? Why not? All that is we only care about the taste. We don't know nothing else. You know, all this spiritual and this and that. We don't care. We only care for the rasa of Krishna and the gopis. So you're going to go for it? Yeah? No, because the environment is what adds. It means you have a taste. That taste comes because of an action. That action is happening in a particular situation. Does that make sense? That's the whole thing. You know, let us say, okay, another aspect. Okay, let's not, you know, try to eat that favorite prep, you know, on the street. But there's this little hole in the wall in Calcutta. You have that phrase, hole in the wall? It means a little dinky place. It's not a big, little dinky place. And this guy, whatever that prep is, he has the best in Calcutta. So many times it's like that, right? You know, that little dinky shop, it's hardly even big enough for two or three people to be in, or four or five to be in, or maybe even a little more. But, you know, there'll be less than this room here. You know, like maximum this big. You know, they'll have the counter, they'll have this, and then they may have a few places to sit. But you go in there, and then you have that, they got the best. No?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, as long as you can go in there and sit, be peaceful, there's no insanity in that, and even though it's right on the street, so that means the cars are there, but it doesn't bother you, no one comes in, no dogs come in, no beggars come in, no, you know, whatever it is, it's cool, you're good. Right? And then, you know, be walking down the street, it's busy, this, that, trying to get through, and finally when you get in the shop, then, okay, now we're here. You know, and then you with your friend, okay, what do we get? You know, how much? You know, this and that. You know, are you going to eat 20 or are you going to eat 50? You're going to, like that. Okay? Now, let us say it doesn't have, it means it has that, it has the best in that, but there's always that thing that something's going on, somebody's walking in, there's yelling and screaming, there's this and that. Are you going to like sitting there? No, you'd rather take it and go home or somewhere else. You understand? So, the situation is important only in that it supports the actual point. So that means the situation has an activity. That activity gives the taste. But it's about the taste. Now if we have the situation, the activity, but no taste. You go into that shop, everything's happening, you guys get, you're all laughing and joking, you're with your best friends, and when you put it in your mouth, zero taste. I mean, not nothing, you know. Could have eaten air. No bad taste. No good taste. Just no taste. Then are we good? You know? You'll take another plate? You understand? So that's the three are inseparable. But of the three, the taste is the most important. So in other words, Bhagavan's the most important, but Paramatma and Brahman are automatically there. You know? Krishna's desires there, the Icha, but then the Kriya and Jnana are there. Does that make sense? So that's what's happening. That's what it's all about. So one has to appreciate this, that the gopis, then you're seeing all these features are there. Because in others, they just say, you know, they relish the, you know, the service to Krishna, or they develop love or this or that. But you see with the gopis, they expand it to show in all aspects. Everything has got that completeness. That's why it's so hard to understand. Because that's where the place where the tattva, the rasa are so perfectly blended. They're one. But there's the variety, so there's the difference. That's the achinta bhedamita tattva. Does that make sense? They attained him, means those other hundreds of thousands of gopis, by associating with his amshas. By associating with the eternal consciousness, because that association quickly generates a similar bhava. It was said previously, kevalena hi bhavena gopyo galaha. By intense bhava, the gopis and cows attained him. So that means they attained him, means those who are coming up from the material world. The associates, they just taste that, again, falling in love with Krishna. They're always in love with Krishna, but because falling in love is so wonderful, they do it again and again, every prakat pastime. Because in the aprakat, it's always going on. Right? Does that make sense? So they come for every prakat pastime and fall in love with Krishna. Well, attend one prakat pastime, fall in love with Krishna, and then stay in the aprakat. Does that make sense? It is was said previously, kevalena hi bhavena gopyo gavaha. By intense bhava, the gopis and cows attained him. Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 12, 8, and 9. What is he called? They attained me. Krishna, who is Supreme Brahman in human form. So, and then these other aspects, you know. Yo, because also, yeah. Yo vataranam madye srishto vatara ko bhavati yena lokas tushta devas tushta bhavanti yam smritva mukta asmat samsarad bhavanti katam vasya vatarasya brahmata bhavati. Brahma spoke, "Who is the best among the avatars? By whom all people and devatas become satisfied, by whose remembrance people become liberated from samsara. How can this avatar be Swayam Bhagavan?" Gopal Tapani, Upanishad 2:24. Serious, how? Or just can?
Katam means, it's how only.
Okay.
You're just questioning, I think, within his own mind. This word.
Oh, so this may be the Brahma Vimoha. Okay. What was the relationship with you that they attained? They attained Ramanam Jaram, a husband. Since the etymological meaning is rejected, as in the case of Nandana, whose common meaning is son, though literally means one who gives joy. Etymologically, Ramana, one who gives pleasure, and Nandana, one who gives joy, have similar meanings. Mitra Putra means Mitra Nandana, not Mitrapati. Mitrapati means Mitra Ramana and not Mitra Putra. The word jara should have different meaning. Ramana jara have the same meaning if Ramana is not taken as husband. Since different words in a list should indicate different things, it cannot be jara or a paramour. That is only a perception. Since the meaning should be different, as in the phrase gopi nam, tatpati nam, the gopis and the husbands, or apparent husbands only, since Krishna is their real husband. He must be the husband, since they are all amshas of the Supreme Brahman, and he is the protector of all pati. In this way, Pingala is said, "Satisfied, having faith in the Lord, and attaining myself, maintaining myself with whatever comes of its own accord, I shall enjoy life with only the Lord, because he is the real source of love and happiness." The Supreme Lord is the dearest for all living beings because he is everyone's well-wisher, and the soul is situated in everyone's heart. Therefore, I will now pay the price of complete surrender, and thus, purchasing the Lord, I will enjoy with him just like Lakshmi. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.8.35. Okay, 11.8.35, that was 40. Okay. These are all Pingala. Since the Lord by nature has no fear, he protects all persons. He alone should be the husband. Otherwise, there is mutual fear. The wise do not accept anything better than attaining you. I guess the wise do not accept that there is anything better than attaining you. He whom they attained previously as an illicit lover, they later attain in his true form. Thus Krishna as paramour, jara, is not ultimate, but Krishna as the husband, Ramana, is the ultimate form. Being a husband, Ramana, in itself does not indicate Krishna, Bhagavan. Thus the word mam, me, is included in this verse. The word mam is then explained by using the word Brahman. This is another proof that Brahman means Bhagavan. You know, from before, from the Bhagavad Samdharva. One may argue that since the word Ramana comes before jara, the perception as husband comes before the perception of paramour. This has to be refuted by various arguments. Unlike the order of Brahma Mam Paramam, the word jara should be placed first, since the state of being a paramour occurs before being a husband.
Yeah. Hmm. So the previous paragraph is the important function. Because it says that Krishna's paramour is not ultimate, but Krishna's their husband is the ultimate form. So it contradicts what we are saying now.
No. he's showing is that, see, paramour means that there isn't that complete connection. Husband means there's a complete connection. Though they always have the sense that they have husbands, but in the Prakat Lila, there are no husbands. There's only a sense of, it's an abhinay, right? That they have husbands. So there's only Krishna. So that completeness is there. When you attain the level of prema, that is completely, it's just Krishna.
So that's what he's trying to prove?
Before the Purva Paksha is that whether it is dharmic or not, the gopis' connection to Krishna, because there are two types of adharmic. One is as a person who is associating with a lady who is already
married, and one is not.
And another one is who is not, but she has relationship with somebody else. So it's here, it's been trying to prove that both of them are not valid in the case of the gopis.
Because that is only Krishna.
Yeah. Ultimately, he is the husband. That's what...
But for the Pashtuns, it's not. Because it's an abhiman. Because the point is, he is the... Everything's connected to him. There's nothing that's not connected to him. So he's the source of everything. But in the pastime, it is that. Because you see in the pastime, they always talk about the husbands are going to tell this, it's wrong, they're going to inform Nanda Maharaj, or, you know, or like Jatila is talking about, you know, they'll inform Kamsa, you know, because she knows Govardhan Mala, and he's friends with Kamsa, so he'll then inform and they'll bring the police. So the point is the pastime is that. But if you take, because if you're getting into, no, but actually it's this, but if you get into, no, but it's, they're all energies of Krishna, you know. So the whole point is that abhiman, then that's important because there's a mood. But he's pointing out is it's not a dharmic because Krishna is the husband. There is no one else. Even though they seemingly have husbands, there's still no one else in their life. Right? So that's the whole thing. Husband means it's complete. There isn't anything else. So in here, for the gopis, there is no one other than Krishna. Right?
That's the reason Pingala is quoted, because though she is what she is, then her mood is actually internally she has accepted there's no protector and my husband is Krishna and I'm
right,
just
right.
going to...
Yes.
So that is the actual truth from on a spiritual platform. So gopis are on that platform always, so there is no point that any other person as husband exists for them. So both type of other things doesn't...
Because she socially is not exactly the wife. But the whole point is that it's that aspect of that surrender. It's Krishna. It's only Krishna. So it's in explaining this that he's establishing, because you have people that have a problem with Krishna because they say he's immoral, but they're establishing, he's establishing they're not. Because these are just the facts. This is the position. And the mood is that it's only about Krishna. But it'll be taken that, he's different from the Sampradaya because he says the gopis, you know, Krishna, you know, it's a swakya. He never says it's swakya. Right? It's always parakya. But, you know, in tattva then you have like this, so there is no immorality. Like that. You know, so that's the thing. So who is saying that? It's not our line. Our acharyas don't say that. It'll be people outside the Sampradaya. And because there's always the idea, oh, we have the simple stuff, they have the more advanced, so then they're, what they're talking must be true. But that's why then, you know, Lord Chaitanya points out, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes to great, you know, efforts to point out the different, you know, the difference between Sampradaya and Apasampradaya. So the ones that point out that there's a difference are all Apasampradaya. Specifically the you know, caste Goswamis and the Sahajiyas. Though you might have something like that with the Nimbarkas, I'm not sure. But at the same time as, where are these husbands in, for the Nimbarkas? They're with Radha and Krishna together all day. At least with us, they go home and they have their duties, and then they meet Krishna at noon, and they go home, have their duties, they meet Krishna at night. But with them, they're always there, so they're even more of a husband. So they can't complain. Shouldn't complain. That's some.
Also, he was defining these words to explain that a husband is on one whom the wife depends.
Yes,
and they're
yes.
all always depending on Krishna.
Yes,
so
yes,
Krishna
yes.
is the husband in that way.
Yeah.
So this whether they are married according to social seeing or not is a secondary thing.
Yes, yes. Is that good?
Not good.
For instance, in the phrase dhatna juhoti, sacrifice using yogurt, the principal element is the injunction to perform sacrifice, and the accessory is the yogurt, even though it comes after. Right? Thus, the sequence starting from Ravana being unaccomplished as jara and ends with mam paramam. Right? So yeah. Nanda gopa sutam devi patim me kuru te namaha. I offer respects to the son of Nanda and our husband. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.22.4. Being the husband is the complete condition for the gopis. This determination of the gopis with spotless love should be fulfilled by the Lord. He personally accepted them, their desire was fulfilled. Like, so by accepting going out and dancing with them, then it is in the position. Right? Yata bala vrajam siddha. Like the aspect on the material platform is paramore, because even though there may be that dependence, but the point is that it's, how you say, that complete surrender is not there. You know, it means that there's a taste there, therefore there's an attraction there, but if that taste adjusts, then there won't be that surrender. You know? Does that make sense? No? Two options. First, second. Which do you take? The best option or the second best? Okay. Now, if you have the second best and you found what you consider the first best, which is the inclination to take?
The best.
Yes. Now, what happens if things don't work out with the best? You go back to second. You got to be practical.
Plan B.
Yeah, you go to plan B. You understand? And it's just so straightforward and so logical. You know what I'm saying? This is where you see women are practical, men are a bit foolish. You know? Does that make sense? You know, they're the ones that, you know, it's a give me liberty or give me death and all that. And the wife's going, things are going on okay. It's not great, but at least it's going on. You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So then you have other things where the men are practical and the women are. Wherever the men are being practical, the women generally aren't. And where the women are being practical, the men aren't. So this is an example where women are just going. So in here, there's no question that there is any other relationship. Therefore, aslushyava padadatampinashtama. That surrender is complete. There is no one else. Because it's not about themselves. It's about pleasing Krishna. It's about their love for Krishna. On the material platform, it's basically the affection one has for oneself, that you want the best. Right? But when that surrender is there, that it's about Krishna, like we see with Pingala, then the connection is there. Make sense? Yeah?
Yata bala vrajam siddha mayema rams syata kshapa yad udishya vratam idam chrerur archar aryarchanam satihi Charud ar yar chanam sati. Ever seen so many R's in a row, right? Ever seen that? Charur ar yar. Go now, girls, and return to Vraja. Your desire is fulfilled, for in my company you will enjoy the coming nights. After all, this was the purpose of your vow to worship goddess Katyayani. O pure-hearted ones, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.22.27. In all cases, the desired attainment, defined as ultimate, should agree with the conclusions of rasa scriptures. Right? So here's, they worship to get, worship Katyayani. What was their purpose? Get Krishna as their husband. Or, does Krishna marry anybody in Vrindavan?
No.
No. So that, but did they, but he says, purpose of your vow, you that was the purpose. You will attain. But he never marries anyone. The wives of the Brahmins also approach Krishna, but because he doesn't get married, then they all went back. You know, they're with their husbands, but they've surrendered to Krishna. Some of them. You know, so that's the way it is in the material world. We have the social, that's why you have to have a social system that you can use that's consistent, that you don't have to think about much. You know what I'm saying? Once you learn it, the Varnashram system, it already covers everything. There's very minimal to think about. So out of habit, you can do everything and it all goes on. You know, you're going for this program, you know, okay, you have to take a gift. You're going for that program, you don't. You just know what to do. So you can just be absorbed in Krishna, you know, which is the real point of surrender. And on the external platform, we deal according to, you know, whatever's the social etiquette. Right? But somehow or another, that's by the mode of ignorance, by the influence of the mode of ignorance, that seemed to be, oh, the restrictive thing and this and that. No, we can do whatever we want. We establish the standards. We say when, we say what, we say where, and all that. And then what do you have? You know, and so you can't do anything. Like nowadays, personally, if I'm in a group of people I don't know, you know, the devotees, how do you talk? Anything you say could you know, disturb somebody because of the constant, you know, fluidity of changing of social, you know, perspective and standards. You know, so how is that somehow or another the greatest thing, boon for Krishna consciousness? No, you want to be Krishna conscious, and these things you don't want to have to worry about. They just go on as a matter of course. That's why Vaishnavas accept Varnashram, because it already covers everything. Because the modern doesn't cover everything. No way. It doesn't even cover dealing with someone outside of your exact group. You know, and your exact group is how big? How many people? You know, two or three if you're lucky? You know? And the guy's a real, you know, socialite, you know, 5-6. You know what I'm saying? That's how you know. You're walking with one guy or alone, right? The guy who's the most, what do you call it? Popular in the school, how many is he walking around with? 4, 5, 6? It doesn't get more than that. But that's how you tell. Wow, he's got 4 or 5 guys with him. You know, maximum I have 1 or 2. Does that make sense? That means when you're moving around. When you sit down, okay, all the losers can get together and lament that we're all losers. You know, then you'll have, you know, 5, 6, 8. You know, you could, but generally you won't get them all together because they don't have the ability to get together. And that guy gets together, then there might be 10, 12 and all like that, but there's some reason. You know, it's the football team or something. You know. Does that make sense? So it's not a whole lot. So our group is very small. And outside that group, they don't know what you're talking about. They don't want to do what you do. They don't want to eat what you do. Yeah, like this. So the Vedic, then it makes it very common. And that there's variety, there's not a problem. You know what I'm saying? You have so many different regions, so many different foods, so many different dress. Nobody minds. Because it's all, you know, what a gentleman would do. Yeah? It may be more sophisticated, less, more urban, more rural. But it doesn't matter, because the common thread is a gentleman who's being God conscious. Mm. And so it can go anywhere, and it's nice. You know, have you ever seen? You're in, let's say, the city. You go to a big, wealthy, influential man's house. He serves you a meal. You go into a village, very simple environment. They serve you a meal. The mood's exactly the same. The experience is exactly the same. The particular taste and the quality of ingredients may be different. But the mood, the experience is exactly the same. That's the Vedic culture. You understand? That's why it's used, because it's secondary. It's religion is in support of bhakti. But it's there so that you don't have to worry about it. You get trained in it. You're trained by the parents. You're trained in your education. Then you can go out and apply it. And people will give you pointers as you go. But the point is you don't have to worry about it. It's already there. You know, it's just like, okay, does that make sense? It's just automatic. Does that make sense? Okay. You know, you're there doing whatever you do. Your sister's getting married. Okay? Do you go or not? Of course you go. And do you take something or not? Yes. Okay. When you get there, is she going to harass you or not? Must. So you know exactly what's going to happen. So it works out. You play your role, they'll play their role, and it works out. And the taste is there. No, it means it's internal principle, brothers and sisters. They have to harass each other. It's just the way it is. They may not be malicious, but they will harass. You know, and that affection, it's very strong, but it's just they express it through harassing.
My daughter tried to convince me that that's the proper relationship of harassment between brother and sister.
Yeah, it's just the way it goes on. You have to, because you're so close. You know, you're saying you have the same background and all that. So, you know, it's in other words, the brother has to arrange everything and for the sister, and he doesn't. You know, so she harasses. And even if he does, she still harasses because it's, you know, okay, you arranged this, but what about that? Or what about that time before? Okay, this worked out nice, but don't get too, you know, smug that you did. Because what about the time before when it completely messed up? It's just the relationship.
The only person can dare to say the sister's, the lady's cooking is not good and all is only the brother. Father would never say it.
Father can't say
it. Husband cannot dare.
Oh no, not at all. It's fabulous. You're just saying that. Oh no, I love it.
So they get actually comments only from the brother.
Yeah, but then it goes back the other way. But the point is, and whatever harassment goes, then the other one takes. So it's balanced. You know, so the more sophisticated it might be more subtle, and the more rough it may be a more rough. You know, like the, the sophisticated might be very subtle what they do or something. You know, it comes up and all that, and they're going to go do something. You know, all of them together, they're all waiting, let's say, for, you know, some social happening. So they tell them, oh, hey, wait 1 minute, we'll be right back. And then they go inside and sit down and start eating. He's sitting there and he's wondering, what's happening? So he goes inside, hey, you guys are eating. What can I do? You're standing outside. You know, we can't wait forever. You know, it'll be subtle. You know, while let's say, you know, down in the more rough and ready and down in the village level, then, you know, the sister might, as they're walking along and it's a delicate thing to get through the mud, she'll bump in and he'll fall in the mud. You know. But, you know, And then he'll run after her, throw mud at her, and you know, they all laugh, and it's good, clean, good, yeah, good, clean fun. That makes sense. It's just the way it goes.
When Prabhupada's sister came to Mayapur, and then everybody was sitting, and Prabhupada was asking her, "So, what are you eating?" "I don't eat anything." She says she doesn't eat anything, and she's still fat. Everybody's laughing, and she didn't understand.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she'll come in and say, "Okay, I'm cooking for you." "No, no, this and that," and she'll cook. You know, and then it was, what do you call it? Because she, Bengali, she would cook in mustard oil. No question, not cooking in mustard oil. So everything's cooked in mustard oil, fried in mustard oil. It's mustard oil. But she's so expert. She's a fabulous cook. You know, you won't get sick from it because she knows. And then I think it was Jamuna, because Prabhupada would say, he had made that statement that about Punjabi was the, in India, Punjabi was the best cooking. I think then Marwari, then Bengali, because they cook in mustard oil, and then Gujarati. So then it gives the inference, if you cook Bengali and ghee, then it might be the best. Or at least it would move up the ladder. And so and Prabhupada said, you know, oil for the outside, ghee for the inside. And then here they're eating, and then Jamuna is asking Prabhupada, she's cooked everything in mustard oil, because you know the thing, they're worried about Prabhupada's health and this and that, and but Prabhupada, you know, it's like that, you know, but you always said about, you know, cooking in ghee, and he says, it's just like I always say, ghee for the outside, oil for the inside. You know, just to get him to be quiet, right? So his sister cooks, so she cooks, so that's the way it is. So, you know, very aggressive, comes in, she's cooking, you know. Anybody else wants to help, fine, but otherwise she's cooking, and how she's cooking is the way it is. You're not going to tell her how to cook for her brother. You know.
She was saying that all the ladies worship her. Yeah. So she looked like Prabhupada.
Exactly.
Then Prabhupada came to know about it. And then you're saying, why are you worshiping her? She's just an ordinary lady.
Yeah. Okay, in all cases, the desired attainment defined as ultimate should agree with the conclusions of Rasa scriptures, right? Because as we see is that if we're taking it as all the Shastras talking about Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, within that then we're talking about Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. Within that then we're talking about how it's his desire, and of his desires then it's the taste. What's important. So to increase his happiness through that taste, that rasa, that's why everything expands. Therefore, it has to be whatever you come up with. You can say technically it means this, but if it's not in agreement with the rasa shastras, it's wrong. One has to know how there's a hierarchy. Right? All ancient and modern scholars, mundane and spiritual, have described it in this way. Marriage as the conclusion. Rupa Goswami, also in the act called Fulfillment of Desires in Lalita Madhava, has shown this, and in Ujjvala Nilamani has concluded this in the stage of Samriddhi Samboga, complete enjoyment, full of all rasa. Do you understand in Lalita Madhava what was...
Conclusion.
Yeah, because they meet, but also is that Rukmini agrees that Satyabhama can marry her. And then they say, okay, we're here, this is nice, but, you know, let's go back to Vrindavan. Right? So that's another thing to show that it's who's who. It's still the same Radharani, it's still the same Krishna.
And also, Nati Shastra also says that final attainment of the goal is all the final aspect. In
yeah, it's going to be that they can be together.
Together.
Yeah, you have that even said modern scholars also, and they have the different romantic things that they could be. So that's why in Romeo and Juliet, it's a tragedy. Because if just being together was okay, then what's tragic? You know, things don't always work out. Oh, it has to come to the point where they can be together. So that make sense? Yeah. You know, Cinderella, then, you know, the prince comes, takes her, goes to the palace, Haribol. Then it works out. This is also indicated in Bhagavatam. But the actual reason why I, your beloved, have strayed far away from your eyes is that I wanted to intensify my meditation upon you and thus draw my mind closer to you. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-34. O fortunate ladies, although some gopis had to remain in the cowherd village and so could not join the rasa dance to sport with me at night in the forest, they attained me by thinking of my potent pastimes. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-37. Right, so they attained by thinking of. Right, so that's the point before of the apricot and the pricot. By thinking of him, they attain, because then they're you know, within that mood. They're with Krishna. Meeting in an illicit way is always filled with obstacles. Therefore, it is not approved in rasa scriptures as the ultimate spiritual goal. The millions of gopis in Braja, filled with Mahabhava, found it most difficult previously to hide their feelings. Quote, as Krishna stole through Braja with his lotus petal-like feet, marking the ground with the distinctive emblems of flag, thunderbolt, lotus, and elephant goad, he relieves the distress the ground feels from the cow's hooves. As he plays his renowned flute, his body moves slowly with the grace of an elephant. Thus we gopis, who become agitated by Cupid, when Krishna playfully glances at us, stand as still as trees, unaware that our hair and garments are slackening. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:35-16-17. In long separation, the feelings become intense. Let us directly approach Madhava and stop him from going. What can our family elders and other relatives do to us? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:39-28. They forgot all shame and loudly cried out, O Govinda, O Damodar, O Madhava. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:39-31. Those gopis are always absorbed in me and their lives are ever devoted to me. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-4. Thus speaking, the gopis, whose words, bodies, and mind were fully dedicated to Govinda, put aside all their regular work now that Krishna's messenger, Uddhava, had arrived among them. Constantly remembering the activities their beloved Krishna had performed in his childhood and youth, they sang about them and cried without shame. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-9-10. One of the gopis, while meditating on her previous association with Krishna, saw a honeybee before her and imagined it to be a messenger sent by her beloved. Thus she spoke as follows, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-11. The gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands, sons, and other family members, who are very difficult to give up. And they have forsaken their relatives in the path of Dharma to attain the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, which even the Vedas pursue. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-61. Honored to have the personal audience of Balaram, the young gopis smile and ask him, is Krishna the darling of the city women living happily? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:65-9. For Krishna's sake, O descendant of Dasarha, we abandon our mothers, fathers, brothers, husbands, children, and sisters, even though these family relations are difficult to give up. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:65-11. They were determined to stop Krishna from going, giving up all shame. They gave up shame because of the appearance of their pava. And since all people of Gokula were crying at that time, they thought they could stop him by crying together in front of him. Giving up their household chores shows clearly the appearance of their bhava. More than that, they gave up their parents and relatives. This was not just the first stirring of love, purva rag, as expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:31-16. Their laughing indicates a condition of madness, unmada, since it was not suitable to laugh at that time. Looking at the bee also is a sign of madness. The unlimited number of gopis acting insanely, giving up shame and giving up parents, could not hide their bhava, because it was uncontrollable mahabhava. Though this became known, it remained as if unknown by everyone because of everyone's great pain of separation from Krishna. They thought about this only later. By hiding their bhava for some time, they could enjoy, and when it was finally revealed, it appeared dharmic in actuality for them and others. This is the opinion of the knowers of rasa. thus is seen as lacking in Dharma, is destroyed by its vulgarity. So we see is that they had that mood and they went to Krishna, but everybody else in that mood, no one saw any fault in it. So you see is ultimately in rasa, it's all reconciled. So Dharma has to support rasa. Right, so rasa is seen as lacking in Dharma, then rasa goes. If you think, oh, by Dharma that this rasa is a problem, then there is no rasa. You understand? So that's why then the point of fault finding is very, one has to be very careful. So if one's absorbed in fault finding, one won't see the taste, one won't see the relationships, one won't see all those things. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So that's different from the previous discussion about the brother and sister. That's not fault finding, that's harassing. Because you can say one thing, a fault, and harass, and then give the exact opposite and harass. The point is harassment, not whether it's true or not, or that has nothing to do with it. Does that make sense? Rasa with adharma is of two types. Parakia, relationship with a woman dependent on another, a husband, and parasparsha, relationship with a woman touched by another man. This is... Oh, the same thing was quoted before, right? Oh, okay, this is from...
Vritti, I quoted in Maharaj.
Oh, you took this in, okay, yeah. I was thinking, wow, it's exactly the same. Okay.
It means the married and the ones that has a lover?
Yeah, relationship with a woman dependent on another, a husband. So that means married. And parasparsha, relationship with a woman touched by another man, means she's a woman touched by another man. That the another man may happen to be this paramour. You know, or in modern context, it might be number 30. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, so it's just like somehow or another, you know, everyone's worried about Dharma, but the thing is in the modern context, boys and girls get together and try to work to see if it works, and that doesn't work, and keep going on, and then sometime, I think, you know, normally when you're like in your late 20s, early 30s, then you finally find the right one and all that. Isn't that modern? I mean, so if you want to be a professional, you know, you have to go to school, you have to do all the things, you have to establish yourself and all that, then you can settle down. But by that time, it's already been, who knows. Depends on the individuals, you know, 5, 6, up to 30. I remember once there was some discussion like that, and one of the ladies was, some of them talking about like 30, 20, 25. You know, I'm sure that goes all the way back to when they're, you know, 11, 12 and like that. And so just, you know, she hangs out with a guy that sits next to her and then he says something stupid and then he's finished. And so that's one. You know, so it could be that simple. Yeah. So that's the second one. Right there. In the assembly of Parikit, which was filled with Aishwarya Jnana, a dharmic love was rejected and rasa was produced according to explanations of Aishwarya Jnana. They were eternally married to Krishna in apricot pastimes. In the assembly of Gokula, filled with prema, but how they're married means that surrender. It doesn't mean that there was a marriage ceremony because they have the starts with an A. It just means that there's a concept, like Nanda and Jashoda have the concept.
Abhiman.
They have the concept that he's their parent, so they have the concept that. So in Prakat, they are actually married, but in the Aprakat, they're not, so they're always with Krishna, so who's the husband? But point is it's still, in the rasa, it'll be the Aprakat, but it has no adharma in it, therefore it's rasa. That's the point being. It's rasa because there's no adharma. Because if there's a dharma, then there won't be the rasa. Does that make sense? Yeah. In the assembly of Gokula filled with prema, the problem was resolved in order to act according to earthly vision, getting married. Taking support of Lokavat, Lila, Kaivalya, the Lord performs actions as pastimes, absorbed in them like a person of this world. Brahma Sutra 2.1.33. Yeah, because then the... Yeah, so then depending on how it goes, that means the 2-1, because it's still considered within the Sambandha aspect there, would still probably be Prachumna. Then you have the masculine and feminine, because then that means the third, if that's the Abhideya, that would be Vasudeva. So I think in Prabhupada's analysis, he puts it at the end.
What
he puts it at? The Abhideya. I mean, like in the Chaturshlokas at the end. So I'm not sure. I think the last section it goes.
No. They put some of the Abhideya prayasam because the goal which you attain in that.
Yeah, but then it's how you attain. Just like in the Chaturshloki, the Abhideya is the fourth. Because you say, you know, like that, up to this, at all times, all places, all circumstances, you're looking, so that's there, you know. But what you're trying to attain is Krishna, you know, who's beyond the other aspects. Yeah. It is also said, the cowherd men, bewildered by Krishna's yoga maya, though their wives had remained home at their sides. The cowherd men, bewildered by Krishna's yoga maya, thought their wives had remained home at their sides. They did not harbor any jealous feelings against him at any time. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-37. This statement should also be correlated. Bewilderment by his maya, they did not hate Krishna. They did not find fault in Krishna. How can Krishna, the very life of our dharma, artha, friends, wives, sons, and life heirs, act wrongly by accepting another's wife? The maya is described. They thought their wives were by their sides, but these wives were made by maya in order to avoid the event that the wives of the Lord, with spiritual bodies, would be oppressed by another person. This confirms our proposal. This is also a solution to the following situation. Some of the gopis, however, could not manage to get out of their houses, and instead they remained home with eyes closed, meditating upon him in pure love. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-9. His maya, capable of anything, starting from the time they were married to their apparent husbands, made arrangements of false forms for his dear gopis, who had attraction only for him, in order to protect their morality. Since his maya is most careful in these matters, this particular day is representative of other days as well. In Kurma Purana, 32nd chapter, it is shown that a chaste woman cannot be defeated by another person. Sita is given as an example. A chaste woman is equal to Durga. There is no doubt. No person can defeat her in any time. Sita, Rama's chaste wife, is famous in the three worlds. The wife of Rama, conqueror, the king of the demons, instigated by time, Ravana, lord of the demons, desired wide-eyed pure Sita, the wife of Rama. Taking a disguise as an ascetic, he decided to steal her as she walked in an isolated forest. Understanding this, she remembered Rama and, smiling, took shelter of the household fire. She worshipped the great person who destroys all sin. With folded hands, she said, "I offer respects to Mahayoga, death personified, who is difficult to understand, who destroys everything, who is the Lord of all beings, having the form of time." Thus worshipping fire with unblinking eyes, she chanted and remained there, meditating on Rama. The fire god appeared, shining brightly, as if burning everything in his power. Desiring to kill Ravana, he made an imitation of Sita. He took Sita, fixed in Dharma, and disappeared. Seeing a person similar to Sita, Ravana, lord of the demons, took her and went to Lanka, situated across the ocean. Having killed Ravana, Rama, along with Lakshmana, brought Sita back. His mind was filled with anxiety. Sita, made of maya, to give people faith, entered a blazing fire. The fire burned her up. Having burned up the false Sita, the fire god, shining brightly, showed Rama the real Sita. Fire thus became dear to the devatas. Grasping his 2 feet, Sita, daughter of Janaka, offered her respects to Rama. Overjoyed, Rama, with wide eyes, seeing this, offered respects to the fire with his head, and satisfied him, He said, O fire, O great one, this woman, having been burnt by you, has by good fortune come to my side. Kurma Purana 32, 5:13, 5:30. One should see also Agni Purana. Though this is not made clear by Valmiki, his not mentioning it serves to nourish Karuni Rasa. The arrangement for explanation sometimes depends on someone else. Right? Because he's bringing out a particular flavor, so the detail someone else can bring out, because he's trying to keep a particular mood. Like Sukadeva is keeping a particular mood. So certain details may be brought out by others at other points or in other shastras. So it's not that, oh, it's something more. It's no, there's a mood. That's why it's only that much said. Mm. You know? And so then in keeping in that mood, someone else might be able to say something. Does that make sense? You know, how you say it? Yeah.
Ramayana is considered as the mood in Karunya Rasa and in Mahabharata and Shanta.
Mm. Chaste women have power, and more particularly the Lord's women have power. Enemies cannot harm the devotees who show affection for his greatly fortunate child, for this greatly fortunate child. Just as the demons cannot harm the devatas. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:26-21. This is Garga's general statement. This Maya who serves Krishna can produce any kind of protection. Like the household fire of Rama, which protected Sita, the spiritual forms were concealed when getting married and sleeping with their apparent husbands. This happened at other times in relation to others also. This was suitable for Maya, since her only goal was to increase longing and protect their morality. So then he's bringing out a point, is that they're in their spiritual forms, that their material form married the husbands. So it's not that they had a material form and gave that up for the spiritual. Because then how that is that by the range of yoga maya, then there's a material form, and that's what the husband's married. You know? So they may be in the home and all that, but then giving up that, then they in their spiritual forms go to Krishna. Because right? Otherwise, how are you in the prakat pastimes of the material form? They have their spiritual form, but at the same time, it's prakat, it's where it's also the point of the tatasta, where the material and spiritual come together. You know? So then the two of them can be there at once.
Also, that pastime as an example of Sita Devi is very makes everything very clear, like how there is Vedavati, then from lifetime she is performing tapasya to become like the wife of the Lord, and she becomes that Maya Sita, and she gets purified, and then afterwards then she gets opportunity to be the wife as Padmavati Devi.
Mm. The spiritual form, Sarup Siddha, were present when they spoke to Jashoda, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:35-14, when they stopped serving their husbands and children, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-7, and when they were prevented from joining Krishna, 10:29-8. Other examples can also be found. The cause and power that prevented others from harming them is shown. Enemies cannot harm the devotees who show affection for this greatly fortunate child, just as the demons cannot harm the devatas. Though it is said they had children, it refers to children of the husband's relatives. If they had children, it would produce rasa-bas because of irregularity in the vibhava. It would contradict statements like the following. Right? So this is important, because even if someone says, no, but see, he's very strongly making the point about them being husbands, he's into Swakya, he never says anything about Swakya. He doesn't even, we've gone through all this, what he's discussing, not once the words has come up Swakya. Not once. Right? So in here, is he saying that those children, means children of husband's relatives, means other co-wives and stuff like that. So if let's say there's a group of wives, if one wife has a child, they all have a child.
also it can mean husband's relatives, means husband, brothers, children.
Yeah, can also be the cousins, like this. But the point is in the families, in these joint families, all children are children of anybody who are, you know, wives. So it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? You know, if it's cousin wives or sister-in-laws, it doesn't matter. They're all like that. Does that make sense? And so that kind of mood is there. So he's pointing that out. Otherwise, if he was so intent on the Swakia, wouldn't he be supportive that it's, see, they had children? You know? But he's not. So the whole point is that he's pointing it out that it's with Krishna. They have families, they have all that. That's the Swakya aspect. But it's arranged by Yoga Maya. The actual is with Krishna. Okay, contradict statements like the poem. When the Lord assumes a human like body to show mercy to his devotees, he engages in such pastimes. Hearing about those pastimes, the person becomes dedicated to him. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-36. With gopis firmly attached to him with anurag, Krishna, whose desires are always pure, who had fixed in his mind enjoyment with them, served the nights lit by the rays of the moon. All the nights would give shelter to poetic topics or rasa in autumn. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-25. Okay. Feeding babies meant they fed milk to others' children, not that they breastfed their own children. Not finding you at home, your mothers, fathers, sons, brothers, and husbands are certainly searching for you. Don't cause anxiety for your family members. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-20. Right? So we know that the material form's at home. Does that make sense? Because the material form, it means that it's a form that is, how do you say, not seen in connection with Krishna. Does that make sense? Just like Duryodhana is dealing with Krishna, he sees the material form, he's dealing with the universal form. But the Pandavas are dealing with the spiritual form. Same person. Does that make sense? Because he sees without connection with, he doesn't even see Krishna in connection with Krishna, you know, the Supreme Absolute Truth. You know, or the Pandavas, he just sees the material side. But the others and Bhishma, they see the spiritual. Because it's Krishna's energies, there's not a problem that all these things work together. That's the point of Yoga Maya, she has that power. This statement by Krishna is a joke, mentioning sons, to increase rasa. If it were true that they had sons, it would spoil rasa, for he would not accept them as an own in that condition, being contaminated by another man. Sometimes the gopis address these men as their husbands, pati, but this is usage for persons of material vision, not internal vision. For instance, they say, "Our dear Krishna, as an expert in religion, you have advised us that the proper religious duty for women is to faithfully serve their husbands, children, and other relatives." Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-32. Actually, Krishna appeared in their minds at all times. Well, internally, I alone am their dear beloved, and indeed their very self. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:46-4. The gopis also say that they are dedicated to him alone. The greatest happiness is to renounce all desires, as even the prostitute Pingala has declared. Yet even though we know this, we cannot give up our hopes of attaining Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47-47. So 47, that's... Yeah, but what is the... Do you know the pastime? 47 is later.
Yeah.
But in any case, they're quoting about Pingala. So Pingala, that must be an ancient story. They say, treating him as their husband, "My dear gopis, what auspicious activities must the flute have performed to enjoy the nectar of Damodar's lips, independently and leave only a taste for us gopis, for whom that nectar is actually meant? The rivers have their hair standing on end, and its relatives, the trees, shed tears of pleasure, just as forefathers shed tears of joy on seeing the good fortune of their descendants. Yeah, because the rivers, and you get trees, and from the trees you get the flute. So then they're all connected, so they're all relatives. So I guess that makes the river like the grandparents. Oh, Uddhava, does Krishna now reside in Mathura? Does he remember his father's houses, his relatives and the cowherd boys? O great soul, does he ever talk about us, his maidservants? When will he lay on our heads his aguru-scented hand? Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47. Okay, so 47 is the Uddhava. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:47:21. And in the five chapters on the Rasa dance, it is said that the husbands never hated Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-37. The Rasa said to them, Savo, he Swami, he is your husband. Gopaltapani Upanishad 2:22. It is also said, Krishna Vadva, the wives of Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-7. Krishna, the Supreme Lord, upon seeing those autumn nights scented with blossoming jasmine flowers, taking shelter of his yoga maya, decided to fulfill the desires of the gopis, right? Because their desire is to have Krishna as a husband. So that was, then he's fulfilling that desire. Does that make sense? So he's just so many ways, because otherwise, say it once, oh, that's just there. So he's going to establish something. He shows every possible angle there is. From this it may be concluded that Krishna engaged Yogamaya to use or not use her powers, and this was known only to her. Thus there were two forms of gopis which were undetected by the gopis themselves and others. These two forms were later revealed to the people of Gokula, becoming obvious, or revealed by messages from sages from the sky, in order to produce in the end great happiness without obstacles on the tree of abundant rasa, nourished by her for protecting their chastity. Footnote 2, this is described in Gopala Champu. That's amazing how the sentence keeps going, right? Mm-hmm. Nourished by her for protecting their chastity, right? So even they don't know they have these two forms. Mm-hmm. So in their mind is one form. So that's why in either form they can be absorbed in Krishna. Does that make sense? These forms are produced in order to avoid hatred from the apparent husbands. Sarupena mam eva ramanam praptaha. They attain me as their true husband. Thus Krishna alone was her husband, and the desires of the mothers and fathers that they marry Krishna were also fulfilled. Right, because all the mothers and fathers originally, they all wanted to marry Krishna. Like, see, Mother Jashoda, there's that pastime when Radharani came over, I guess, for cooking, and that took her aside and all that, and then she put the turmeric on her hands and all that, and said, you know what, we'll make a, you know, if she was agreeable, then we'll make an arrangement and all that, and everybody was happy, and everybody's in ecstasy. And all that, and Yogamaya, what's happening? And then they explain, oh, you know, Radharani's going to, she goes, no, no, that's not going to work. It'll, you know, change the mood, so then, you know, like that. So then, you know, she arranged very quickly another pastime that she ended up marrying Abhimanyu.
When they go back, she washes her hand in one kukur, then it becomes pili kukur.
Mm, okay.
That's the pastime, that's the yellow kukur.
That's the pili kukur. If Krishna actually had illicit relationships, the elder cowherds, Vatsalya for him, would disappear. What, that would not appear if they were married. Bharata, however, says, that love which causes great opposition because of being against normal dharma, which necessitates the love being kept secret, and which makes it hard for the lovers to meet, is the highest type of love. Ujjvala Nilamani 120. So he's pointing out it's the highest kind of love. Therefore, how do you have that, but at the same time not actually disturb others? There has to be these two forms. You know? So therefore, the highest forms are with Krishna, but it's kept secret, so it has to be the highest. But at the same time, it has to be exclusive. So them having husbands, that means that it's just an arrangement of the yoga maya. So that goes on. So that's why it says the parakeya aspect is there, and then they attain. Because they have that parakeya aspect, that's why they go out, but then they attain Krishna. He actually has the rasa dance with them. Does that make sense? So before that, then they're not on that platform. But after, then they come. He comes, returns, and then he deals with them. Now he's that position. But it still takes on this aspect of a parama. Rasa will not occur if there is no opposition. Obstruction occurs not by instilling fear, since Krishna was most skillful, but rather by giving him shame. Shame for young cultured boys occurs when others infer that he has some secret affair with someone's wife. Lakshmi resides where shyness resides. Where Lakshmi resides, gentle conduct resides. These three are eternally in Krishna. Harivamsa 2:101-73. Okay, shyness, gentle conduct, and opulence. Mm-hmm. So they go together. So there's opulence, shyness, and gentle conduct. Then you know that they actually are cultured. If they have, you know, because for many, when they get opulence, then there's no shyness and there's no gentle conduct. Or they may not have, and they may be gentle. But they don't have the, you know, so, but what's great is when they're all together. Krishna, who manifests high rank and fresh youth in Braja, and is the abode of the highest shame, manifests the shame to a high degree. This produces obstacles, secrecy, and difficulty, right? So the shame is there, right? It means shame is manifest, right? So there's shame, so therefore he'll hide it. If there's no shame, he'll say, what's your problem? No? But it's no, you hide it. So therefore, he manifests shame to a high degree. He's talking about the effect of it. Means, right? This produces obstacles, secrecy, and difficulty in meeting. Shame is of two types. Shyness for proper activities, and humiliation from improper acts. In the first type, one covers one's inner feelings. This is not too contrary. The second type produces double contrariness. If one who is attached to his good name is suspected of vile acts. Though he did play constantly with the gopis, Gopa, Nari, Bhir, Anisham, Kridayamasa, Keshava, Padma Purana 6:252-26. It was impossible that Krishna played constantly with others' wives in an illicit way. The countless gopis were in great grief if they could not obtain Krishna as the husband, though he was naturally so. The elders advised obligatory dharma as the consolation because of the false appearance of their being others' husbands. It was said, Krishna in cowherd dress stayed for 2 months in Gokula, happily playing and experiencing the rasa of prema. After that, it is proper that he gave profuse rasa of prema of a most attractive nature to them. He married them. The words Gopa Nari Bhi cannot mean others cowherd wives. Similarly, in the third canto, Devahuti is described as Nripa Vadhu, daughter of the king, rather than wife of the king. Obstacles exist not only in illicit love, according to Bharat Muni. Even in married life, obstacles exist in the form of co-wives, as in the case of Ratnavali and Yayati. However, it is said, poet's objection to married women enjoying with another man, as the main rasa, applies only to women other than the women of Gokula, whom Krishna, the topmost among tasters, made appear in this world because of a special desire for Madhura rasa. Ujjwala Nilamani 5.3. Because then, pastimes of Krishna with the gopis, that doesn't have a problem. The poets don't object to that. Okay? Those who desire Krishna as a husband attained him, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 11, 12, 13. Matkama rasa ramanam. The Lord also fulfilled the vows of the young girls who prayed to have Krishna as her husband. Nanda gopa sutam devi patitam dopatim me kuru te namaha. He accepted them. Now go, girls, and return to Vraja. Your desires are fulfilled. For in my company you will enjoy the coming nights. After all, this was the purpose of your vow to worship Goddess Katyayani. O pure-hearted ones, Srimad Bhagavatam 10, 22, 27. He was only like an illicit lover, Jaram, since he was a husband in disguise. Durvasa has also said, means the rasa is there because is that aspect of the illicit connection, but he was a husband in disguise. You know, just like he was a husband in disguise, and at home that material form was the wife in disguise. You know, like that. Anam jarabhyam bhinast stanur ayam achedyo yam yo sau saurye tishtati yo sau goshu tishtati yo sau ga palayati yo sau gopeshu tishtati yo sau sarveshu Vedeshu tishtati yosau sarva vedair giyate yosau sarveshu bhuteshva vishya bhutani vidatati savohi swami bhavati. He who is beyond birth and old age, who is studied in form, qualities, pastimes, and abode, who is indivisible, who resides on the bank of the Jamuna, who lives among the cows, who protects the cows, who lives among the cowherds, who resides in all the Vedas, who is praised in all the Vedas, and who, entering all beings, makes them special, is none other than the husbands of you gopis. Gopal Tapani Upanishad 2.21. The Lord spoke thus to Uddhava.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.